We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right. I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish. Brad Carson is in studio producing the program. I'm looking at him right now. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruption. And I don't know what your expectations were for the trade deadline, but I hope you weren't hoping the Grizzlies would get interesting young pieces and or first-round draft picks in exchange for trading three of their top five scorers in advance of the NBA's trade deadline that came and went at 2 p.m. Central today, because that did not happen. Marc Gasol, now a Raptor. Good luck to him. JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple are headed to the Clippers. The Grizzlies got back. I don't think anything that's really going to excite you unless Jonas Valanciunas excites you, but
that's what she said.
Mike Conley's going to remain a member of the franchise. I'm okay with that. We're going to get into the trade deadline momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 420, John Marty's my little buddy. Yeah. Co-host Jason and John show weekdays from 11 to 2. Used to be with Cookie. He upgraded. Got Sam. He's going to join me in about 20 minutes. We're going to talk Grizzlies and Tigers. Tigers got a big game tonight. It's been overshadowed because of the trade deadline, but the 25th-ranked Cincinnati Bearcats are in town. Penny Hardaway with an opportunity to get his first win over a ranked opponent. Talk to John Martin about all of that. We're going to do it in about 20 minutes. Finish that segment. What I usually do is four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I discuss four previously undiscussed stories. But today I think that'd be a mistake. I want to stay focused on the main stuff today. That's Grizzlies. That's Tigers. So we're going to continue to talk Tigers and Grizzlies till the end of the first hour. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is going to join me just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and I'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks now because it was known for a few weeks that the Grizzlies were shopping Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, the two franchise players, arguably the two most important players in a franchise history. I think I'd reached a point, I think a lot of you had reached a point in recent days where you're just like, all right, let's just get to the deadline and let's figure out where we're at. Like we could keep discussing hypotheticals over and over and over again, and perhaps that makes for good radio, but I was just bored by it at the end. Like, just, hey, let's get to 2:01 p.m. Central on Thursday. Let's see where we're at. Well, that happened about 2 hours ago, and now we know where we're at. Marc Gasol is headed to the Raptors. The Grizz, in exchange for that, get Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, C.J. Miles, and a 2024 second-round pick. My kids are going to be grandparents by the time that pick is executed.
It's in remarkable timing.
The 2024 second-round pick. Can you imagine starting this process if you're a Grizzlies fan going, I hope we can get a first-round pick in 2019. I hope we can get a first-round pick in this year's draft some way, somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we can end up, even if it's in the teens, we end up with, I don't know, Trey Jones or something, and it's like a 2024 second-round pick. So, like, literally more than 5 years from now, the Grizzlies will use that pick to draft somebody who sucks. That's where we're at. But whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. Garrett Temple and JaMychal Green headed to the Clippers. The Grizz get Avery Bradley in exchange for that, and Mike Conley will remain with the team. They did not move him at the trade deadline. Those are the three bullet points. Marc Gasol to the Raptors, Garrett Temple, JaMychal Green to the Clippers, and Mike Conley going to remain with the franchise. So let's just take them in order. The Gasol trade is, so let me just back up. I landed, I don't know, 90 minutes ago.
Yep.
I'm tired. If I sound tired, it's because I am tired.
No, you sound great.
And So I do what I always do. I immediately went to 92.9, and I was listening to Jason and John, and they had Jeff Calkins on, and they asked him what he thought of the Marc Gasol trade, and he said he actually used the word underwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Twitter and saw Chris Harrington tweeting about the deals, and he said everything that's happened today is sensible. I'm not quoting him here, but this is basically his point. Is sensible, provided that the Grizzlies didn't have better options. And I guess at this point we can assume that they didn't have better options. So everything's sensible, but also underwhelming. So Jeff and Chris both use the word underwhelming. Now, that might be because they just talk to each other every day, so they start to share words. but I do think that's an accurate way to put it. It's fine. Like, I can't come on the radio and look at this microphone and start ranting and raving. It's fine. But it is also underwhelming. To the extent that we had discussed this in recent weeks, one of the things I had said was, I'm not convinced that you got to do anything, but if you're going to do something, what I would hope is that you get interesting young pieces with potential and draft picks back. And I don't know that they really did that. Valanciunas is a good player, and he could help them remain not the worst team in the world, and perhaps he can help them be good enough, Avery Bradley as well, be good enough to convey the pick to Boston this season. So maybe there's some hope there. But I also think, like, Mark and Mike just on the team could have probably helped you do
yeah,
that.
Could have
helped you do that as well. Either way, you do get younger. You get below the luxury tax with these deals. Again, it's all sensible. Sometimes there are things that happen and you go, what are they doing? Like keeping Tyreek through the trade deadline last season. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That was dumb in real time. It's dumb looking back. It was dumb. There's no way to defend it. This is like, you can disagree with the path they took. You can insist that you'd rather them do the Charlotte deal that was reportedly on the table. But it's fine. That's all it is, though. It's just fine. I do wish Mark luck. I will now have a rooting interest in the NBA playoffs. I'll root for Toronto. The idea that Mark, who is 34 years old, and yeah, he's from Spain, nicknamed Big Spain, but he spent the majority of his life at this point in Memphis. He's a Memphian. And the idea that we'll now have an opportunity to obviously watch him in the playoffs, team with Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, maybe, I think reasonably, you could hope, go to the NBA Finals. That's kind of a cool thing. I think he'll be really good there. And I know that he said in recent weeks he didn't want to leave Memphis. He didn't want to be traded. But I bet he'll wake up tomorrow, if not from a nap tonight, and be re-energized by the idea that he's going to be playing home games in a building that's jam-packed, and he's going to have an opportunity to be a featured player, a starter, on a team that can at least compete for an NBA title. Think about that. He's 34 years old. He's never been on a team like that.
Wow.
I know he's played in the Western Conference Finals, but he's never played on a team that was a serious threat to win an NBA championship. You know, the Grizzlies, and keep the banner up. You don't have to put an asterisk beside it, but they lucked into the NBA Finals. I mean, the Western Conference Finals. They weren't supposed to be there. If the Raptors get to the NBA Finals this season with Marc Gasol, it won't be anything lucky about it. It'll be because they've got a really good team, one of the best teams in the East. It might not be as good as Philadelphia. It might not be as good as Milwaukee. The Grizzlies could never, even with Marc Gasol on the roster, even when they were winning in excess of 50 games, they could never reasonably hope to go to the NBA Finals. You could dream about it, but it was just a dream. You could dream about it the same way you can dream about winning the lottery, or, you know, dream about, you know, Memphis going to the Elite Eight this year, but it's just a dream. Now you don't really have to dream. It's a realistic thing for Mark in Toronto. And so that'll be fun to watch. I'll have interest in the NBA playoffs anyway, I would have, but especially now. Go Raptors. The other deal, Garrett Temple, Jamichael Green to the Clippers for Avery Bradley, I don't care about that at all. I would have liked to have been able to get a pick in some form there. I think the consensus on that one is you really couldn't get more than that. But I'll just fall back on this. If they could get more than that, like, wouldn't they have done it? I mean, that's what people are saying today. Why couldn't you? That's the best you could get for those two players, two of your top five scorers on this season's team? And the answer is, and perhaps we'll never know for sure, but I'm assuming the answer is like, yeah, that's it. That's what you could get. And so it is what it is. And then I think the most important thing for the franchise going forward is that they kept Mike Conley. And I was kind of on board when it was initially reported that, you know, the Grizzlies were at a crossroads, or at least they believed they were, and they were going to move Marc Gasol and Mike Conley if they could. I was kind of on board with it, like, okay, let's go. Clearly, it's going nowhere with them. As I've said a bazillion times, for the past 8 years, and even deep into this season, it was always accurate. You could honestly say, if the Grizzlies have Mike Conley and Marc Gasol playing X amount of games, they're good. Because it had never not been true. But it became untrue this season. That was the thing that the Grizzlies built around. It was the thing that they tied themselves to. It was the thing that guided their offseason, this past offseason. If we have Mike, if we have Mark, we will be good, because every time Mike and Mark have played X amount of games, we've been good. Well, they played X amount of games this season. Wasn't good. It's terrible. So once you reach a point where that's not true anymore, the idea that you'll be good if you have Mike and Mark, because you're not good with Mike and Mark, I was, okay. If it's time to go, it's time to go. But as the trade deadline approached, and it became clear that, yeah, you could get something for Mike Conley, more for Mike than Mark, I also understood the value of keeping Mike Conley. And the value is not just keeping you good enough to maybe convey the pick, or not putting the fan base through, oh my God, just 2 years ago, Zach and Tony were here, Mike and Mark were here, now everybody's gone. Who are these people? I do think that matters some, but not enough to make you go one direction or the other. But I do think there's something to be said for having a real professional, a high-level locker room guy, if not around your entire locker room, because like I said yesterday, the entire locker room is like, the next time the Grizzlies are good, the guys that are in the locker room right now largely won't matter,
right,
outside of Jaren Jackson Jr. That would be the thought. So I don't know that I need Mike Conley around Dylan Brooks or Javon Carter, maybe. But having a professional like Mike Conley next to Jaren Jackson every day, I don't think it's a bad thing. Now, you can push back and say it's a somewhat irrelevant thing, and I don't know that I can prove you wrong, but by all accounts, Mike is someone who approaches his job in a serious manner. He's worked hard to come back from an injury last season that sometimes players don't come back from. He's operated at a near all-star level for a while and probably would have been an all-star at some point, perhaps even this year, if he were A, playing for a better team, or B, playing in the Eastern Conference. And I do think there's value to some degree of having him around a 19-year-old every day. You know, I was in studio last night in New York, and Brendan Haywood was there with us, and we were discussing NBA trades and stuff. And I'm always fascinated to, when I work with former NBA players, whether it's Brendan or Danny Granger or whomever, because they have real insight into the league in a way that, frankly, most people don't, myself included. And once they're out of the league, they might not go on television and say some of the things they say privately, but they will say things privately that are interesting. And one of the things that they put real value on is that young guys look to older guys and they follow the older guys. If the older guys are in the clubs, the younger guys going to be in the clubs. If the older guys, you know, aren't getting up 200 extra shots every day, the younger guys ain't going to get up 200 extra shots every day. And I thought, even though the Sixers thing is going really well right now, and they might be in the NBA Finals, I do think the one blind spot that organization had when they were going through the process was they didn't have the older guys with the younger guys. And it created a culture where Jahlil Okafor was fighting in the streets. And it doesn't mean that Jaren Jackson's Jahlil Okafor or one thing matches up with the other. But I do think if you've got somebody who's been in your franchise for more than a decade, who is respected in the franchise and outside of the franchise, who has never been called anything other than a real professional who takes his job seriously and does everything the way you're supposed to do it, when you're making a vet minimum or a bazillion dollars, I do think there's value to having that guy every day around the guy who you hope is going to be the face of your franchise going forward, who is 19 years old, by all accounts also a serious professional, by all accounts somebody who also takes his job very seriously, who by all accounts has never been late to anything, never leaves early from anything. I don't know that that's a result of being around Mike and Mark, but I know it can't hurt. And so to keep one of those examples and voices in your locker room, particularly when you couldn't obviously get anything great in exchange, particularly when you are still, I think on some level, motivated to try to be good enough, not to make the playoffs, that's over, but to move the pick to Boston this year, I think keeping Mike makes sense. I was on radio this morning in Columbus, Ohio, and they were asking me about college basketball stuff, Ohio State stuff. But then they asked about Mike Conley because he went to school there. And the question was, do you think he gets moved by the trade deadline this afternoon? And my answer was, no, I don't think he does. I actually said, I think Mark will, but I don't think Mike will. And it doesn't mean like, look at me, I was right. I mean, I think most people thought that by earlier today. And one of the things I told them was a lot of the stuff I just said, but my hope is that he doesn't get moved. Not because I think it's going to be the difference between the Grizzlies being good or being bad. Like I said yesterday, I don't think the Grizzlies will ever be good again with anybody on the current roster playing a prominent role outside of maybe Jaren Jackson. It's going to be a while before they're good again. It's not going to happen this season. I don't think it's going to happen next season. I'd be surprised if it happens the season after that. But I do like the idea of Mike Conley playing through this trade deadline, finishing the season with the Grizzlies, and continuing to be a mentor in whatever way, a calming presence in whatever way for the 19-year-old phenom that the Grizzlies tanked and got last season. All in all, bottom line, it's underwhelming. You spend a whole lot of time talking about what might happen at the trade deadline, and then what actually happens, I don't think excites anybody in any way. But it is what it is. And I don't mind Mike still being on the roster. And now you root for Marc Gasol to go win an Eastern Conference championship. Talk with John Martin about this next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Valentine's Day is next week. Don't procrastinate. You looking for a great gift, and not just a great gift, but a convenient gift? Go with Sherry's Berries. You know what's at. Berries.com. B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. We're talking about incredible strawberries dipped in milk, dark or white chocolatey goodness, topped with decadent toppings like chocolate chips and glitter sprinkles. They're always fresh. They're always tasty. They're always worth the wait. And they ship anywhere in this country. So you want to ship them to your house or just down the street? Or like Oregon, it doesn't matter. You can ship them anywhere. It's easy. And you don't have to go to a store. Just get on your computer, get on your smartphone. Like I said, convenient. And you can get it for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you order right now, you can add a dozen roses for just $19.99 more. And they're going to be shipped with your Sherry's Berries, so no extra charge. You know what to do. Go to berries.com. Click the microphone and then enter the code PARISH, P-A-R-R-I-S-H, at checkout. That's B-E-R-R-I-S.com. Then click the microphone, enter the code PARISH, and you're going to get hooked up. 426, Gary Parish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and I'm joined now by my little buddy, co-host Jason and John Show. Used to be with Cookie, he upgraded, now he's with Sam. It's John Martin making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
John Martin, it's Gary Parish. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's the word?
You tell me. You're the one been here all day. I just got here like 45 minutes ago. I don't know what the word is. What's the word? You tell me.
Yeah, you know, it's always one of those things like when you're doing a live radio show on trade deadline day, and for 2 hours you get basically nothing on the Grizzlies, and then like it all happens in like 3 minutes. You know, that's kind of how the show went today.
Good one, Brad. That was actually good.
Yeah.
So the deals did go down. You guys get off the air at 2. I think everything was done before you guys got off the air because the trade deadline was due. Anything after that would be illegal. Marc Gasol's to Toronto. Garrett Temple, Jamichael Green to the Clippers. Mike Conley, still a member of the Memphis franchise. Just big picture, your thoughts on what happened today.
Well, I mean, today it looks like crap. Like, today it looks like a very underwhelming return for, a legend for the franchise in Marc Gasol, and then to basically get back a guy who was just a mediocre to average player, Avery Bradley, for two expirings without a draft asset is, I would say, you know, pretty disappointing, honestly. I'm assuming that the Grizzlies took the best deals, that were offered. It wouldn't make sense not to. It's unfortunate, you know, their situation and their predicament, given, you know, some of the, you know, decisions that they've made that kind of put them in that corner and kind of forced their hand a little bit. Now, that's today. I don't think I'm as optimistic about Valanciunas and DeLon Wright as maybe like other people are. I've seen a lot of people who for some reason think DeLon Wright is a good NBA player, and like I don't know why they think that. But maybe Avery Bradley, I think he has like an $8 million trade exception. Maybe he's a trade chip that gets you something else down the line. You know, I just think today, I would say today, not great. Maybe in 2-3 years we look back on it and say, you know what? That's actually shrewd, like, business decisions by the Memphis Grizzlies. But we certainly cannot say that yet.
To your point about DeLon Wright, he is a 26-year-old who is averaging 7 points per game. So, like, I don't
– Yeah, like, why do people think that's good?
Like, unless we decided to start getting excited about, like, a 19-year-old that averaged 7 points a game and got a ton of upside, we're like, okay, maybe. But, like, by the time you're 26, you kind of, I don't want to say without exception you are what you are, but I don't know how many 26-year-olds averaging 7 points a game turn into something that you value going forward.
No doubt. And, like, you know, listen, I like, it's kind of like the, you know, the NBA hipster thing where, you know, maybe he's like a 3-and-D guy, but he's not really a 3 guy because he shoots like 30% from the field. So he's, you know, maybe a lengthy athletic, so you can kind of like see a little bit of physical upside there. But, you know, I'm not super excited. I don't think he's a, you know, and he's a restricted free agent, so you're going to get yourself in a situation where, you know, you may have to pay the guy, and I don't know. I guess we'll see. Like, man, I'd be happy to be blown away by him in Memphis, but I haven't seen a lot out of him. And then Valanciunas is a worse player than Mark, who you know, is on a big contract and is going to be up for a new deal soon anyway. So, but again, like, maybe those two come here and they're awesome and they want to be a part of the Grizzlies going forward. I have serious doubts about that. But also maybe they flip all of these pieces into something magical around Jaren Jackson Jr. So, but I also have my doubts about that. I guess I'm just kind of I mean, I'm sure they have a reason for doing it, right? Financially, whatever. But I think I'm just kind of pessimistic and underwhelmed by the whole thing.
It feels like the Valanciunas aspect of this is the Raptors are pushing in right now. They want to try to do this right. There's no guarantee they're going to have Kawhi next season. There's no guarantee they'll ever be. They might be closer, and I actually like this, whether it's Philadelphia, Toronto, anybody else in the East, Milwaukee, like saying, okay, like our window is now, and let's not think about 2 years from now. Let's go try to be let's maximize what we can be right now. And for Toronto, it looks like that's what they're doing. We're willing to give up Valanciunas, who is an interesting 26-year-old player who has been productive, never to the degree that Mark has been, but I don't think it's crazy to think this time next year, Valanciunas could be a better player than 35-year-old Marc Gasol. So it feels like Toronto is willing to sacrifice a little future for, like, let's go right now with Kawhi Leonard, and the Grizzlies get a guy who, you know, again, I don't think Valanciunas makes the Grizzlies better today than they were yesterday, but he could keep them good enough to convey the pick if you're motivated by that at all. I don't, and I do think it's interesting that the Toronto fans, as much as Grizzly fans are underwhelmed today, Toronto fans aren't like across the board, woohoo, we just got Marc Gasol, because a lot of them do not like losing that guy. And when you get somebody that the other fan base doesn't love losing, that can't be a terrible thing.
Well, I will say this, and I will just use it as an example. Texas Tech really hated to see Tubby go. Like, they hated it.
It's a fair point.
They hated it. I mean, I remember how weird the reaction was when Memphis hired Tubby Smith, because, you know, Memphis fans wanted to jump off a bridge, and so did Texas Tech fans. Like, they were all just meeting each other at the bridge to jump off together for different reasons, and it was so bizarre. But no, I get it, though. I get what you're saying, you know, and honestly, you know, he's going to be put in a role probably where he's featured more than he's ever been, right? He's going to be playing with a really good point guard in Mike Conley. And so the Grizzlies get a little younger, and you know, maybe the guy loves Memphis. You know, I have no idea.
I'm sure a 26-year-old from Lithuania has always dreamed about being in Memphis.
I don't know, man. Mark loved it, okay? Mark fell in love with the place. I don't friggin' know. I'm just trying to – I mean, I just think this is one of those things you kind of have to talk yourself into, which usually is a sign of it not being great.
That's what Cookie said.
She said that.
Yeah.
She did.
I'll go for this kid.
She actually was a woman of very few words.
Oh, she didn't talk much.
She didn't talk a lot.
Why didn't she talk much? What did you guys do all the time then?
What are we doing?
No, we just, we watched, movies. I don't know.
What movie? What's your favorite movie, if you have a memory, watching a movie with Cookie?
I don't know. I remember one time, it wasn't a movie. We were watching like a LeBron James Eastern Conference playoff game.
One day you're going to get old enough to realize that even if I ask questions, it's just unwise to talk about your ex-girlfriend as much as I make you do it when your wife may or may not be listening.
John, this man makes me answer unfair questions every day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to it by now.
Can you imagine?
So is she.
Oh, my God.
Talking to John Martin here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You okay with Mike Conley still being a part of the franchise?
I wish, like, okay, so yes, I'm okay with it. Yes, I'm okay. Here's what I don't like, okay? And I'm not, but this idea, right, this idea that the Grizzlies, I don't know if they announced it or they leaked it or however the hell it happened, but, you know, Wilk says the Grizzlies are taking offers on they're listing offers on Mike and Mark, you know, and obviously it sounds like it's close to a good enough deal for the Grizzlies to take on Mike Conley, which, again, I don't begrudge them that. You can revisit this down the line, and that's smart. There was no urgency to do that. But what I reject now is, like, this whole idea, and I don't know how much of it's out there, but I've seen it now a little bit, You know, now it's building around Jaren and Mike. And you know, no, they're not building around Jaren and Mike. Don't say that. That's, you know, in all likelihood, they're shipping Mike away, whether it's on draft night or in the summer or whatever it is, and they're building around Jaren. But no, I mean, I think Mark was the one you really had to get away from, given everything that happened with him and just how far you got down that road. Mike's got years left on his contract. He's still productive for you. And hey, you know, like we talked about, maybe this new style that they're going to employ, whatever it'll look like, you know, maybe Mike can be a, you know, maybe he, that's something that he can thrive in and continue to thrive in and helps them convey the pick. So I'm fine with it all together.
Talking to John Martin here on 92.9 FM ESPN, I do want to switch gears because in any other day, on any other day, top 25 Cincinnati inside FedEx Forum tonight with Penny having an opportunity to get his first win over a ranked opponent would be the biggest story because it's the day of the NBA trade deadline and Marc Gasol's going to Toronto. It's been completely overshadowed, but and it's a 6 o'clock start for folks who don't know. It's an earlier than usual start. I can't wait to get home and watch this. What do you make of Penny's Tigers being on a 2-game losing streak, both road losses, humiliating on some level, being back home inside FedEx Forum and only a slight underdog to a team that's ranked 25th in the country?
I think they win tonight. I do. I think they're going to win the game tonight.
I will say this. The line opened at Cincinnati 2.5, and it immediately got bought up to Cincinnati minus 4.5. So the money came in initially heavy on Cincinnati, but I'm with you. I don't know that they'll win tonight, but I won't be surprised if they win tonight. I'm not willing to go all the way there with you, but I won't be surprised if they win tonight.
Yeah, I think you're gonna see a pretty desperate Memphis Tiger basketball team tonight. Desperate to prove a point, to play well, to come out and not get their teeth kicked in like they've done the last couple games. I think they win tonight. I think they'll certainly, at the very least, look prepared. I'm willing to at least say that. I think it'll be a close game. Cincinnati is what they always are. You know, they're tough. They're fundamental. You know, they're going to rebound the basketball well. Like, you know what Cincinnati is going to do. They're going to try to slow it down. So they don't have like a transformative player. They don't really have a guy. They got the Cumberland guy who's, you know, a very good player, but that's really it. And we've seen Memphis defensively, for example, against UCF, when they commit to a game plan and they execute it, we've seen what they can do. They take Taco Fall out of the game. They force B.J. Taylor and Aubrey Dawkins to combine 19% shooting. So when they focus and lock in defensively, they are capable of beating anybody in the conference. And so they're at home. We know how much of a swing it is when they are at home. They're coming off two pretty humiliating L's, even though, you know, they made it respectable, I would say, in the USF game. So I think you're going to see a desperate team, and I think desperate teams tend to win at home. So give me Memphis plus 4.5 right now, and I'll take them straight up on the money line too. Let's get rich.
Okay, get into it then. Get into it then. I thought it was interesting Penny's comments because he has famously talked whatever about whomever, specifically Rick Barnes, very complimentary of Mick Cronin, and sort of suggesting the fingerprints of Mick are all over every basketball team he coaches. Like, it really is true of Cincinnati. It's true of other programs in America, but I think especially true of Cincinnati. They are what they are every year, and it doesn't matter who's on the team. Like, you go look at the team 3 years ago, and none of the dudes that were important pieces are still on the team now, and the team is exactly like this team. Like, they're just tough. They guard you. They control tempo. And Penny, I think, recognizing that, A, that's impressive. Like, that's the sign of a good coach, somebody who can, like, the team is a reflection of what he wants it to be almost every season without exception. And that Penny's saying, that's what I want us to be. Not in the same way, because a Mick Cronin coach team and a Penny Hardaway coach team are never going to play the same style. But what you want, I think, as a college basketball coach is to create a program that looks the same year in and year out, even if the pieces are different year in and year out. Mick has done that, and I thought it was right, but also cool to see Penny sort of pay that respect to Mick in advance of tonight's game.
Yeah, you mean instead of telling him to get the F out of here?
Instead of, like, on the other hand, just telling him to, you know, to SSD. Could have just told him to SSD. Exactly. Instead, he told him to. He said, "Like, I don't know."
Who do you think Penny? Who do you think the next coach that Penny's going to say SMID to? Who's the next target? Do you think it's like Dan Hurley?
I could see Penny and Dan Hurley banging heads a little bit.
Dan, I like that.
Dan and Penny are similar in the sense that they'll just say whatever they're thinking at the time. And
I love it.
And Dan is what's the nicest way to say maniac? Is there a nice way to say maniac?
He's intense. He's intense.
He's very intense. And yeah. I like Dan a lot. And he's a great basketball coach. And he's going to get UConn. In fact, I said this, I think last night on television, because we had Temple UConn. I don't know if you saw that game. Temple jumped on UConn, same way USF jumped on Memphis over the weekend. They were like up 26 points at the half. And one of the points I made is Dan Hurley and Penny Hardaway are in the same boat right now, in the sense that they took over historically strong programs that have great recruiting classes on the way. I think Memphis is 12th right now. UConn's is 16th. Similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they just inherited disasters. And, you know, because of the people they inherited it from. With Dan, it was Kevin Ollie. With Penny, it was Tubby Smith. UConn's got the right coach. Memphis has got the right coach. But it doesn't mean UConn's going to look the way it's supposed to look this season. Same thing with Memphis. But going forward, I think UConn's going to get back to being what UConn ought to be. Memphis going to get back to being what it ought to be. And if those two programs rise to the top of the AAC, and either one of them says something slightly controversial about the other, then the other one will pop off, like, in, you know, just without hesitation. So, yeah, I could actually, if you're trying to, the next coach Penny beefs with, could it be Dan Hurley? I could see that, sure.
I actually think after the press conference tonight, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to say, Penny, you know, nice win tonight over Cincinnati. Dan Hurley says he's going to whoop your ass on Sunday. I think that's what. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think the conference would be it's much needed for, obviously, of course, Memphis and UConn to get back to their historic levels. I will say, back to your point on Mick Cronin though, and Penny's, you know, compliments to him. He basically said that's what we want to do at Memphis. You know, like we want to create that culture of toughness, and you know, every game you know what you're going to get with us. That was one of the things that Memphis basketball struggled with under Josh. I would talk to coaches around the country all the time about, you know, identity, right? Like every, you know, the big time brands in college basketball, like they always have an identity. Like Kentucky, they're going to just out talent you. They're going to out athlete you. Same thing with North Carolina. They're going to try to get up and down. They're going to try to run. You know, Cincinnati's going to try to mix it up, get in the mud. Like a lot of the great teams in college basketball and the brands, they have an identity, and Memphis basketball under Josh never really had an identity. I mean, it didn't even have a pulse under Tubby, needless to say. And so, you know, I think that's what Penny is trying to do here. Whatever it is, right, whatever that culture is and that identity is, he's trying to build it. And it'll be interesting to see if that can start tonight with a win against Cincinnati.
That was the major, not complaint, because other coaches weren't complaining about Memphis. They didn't care about Memphis. But when you asked them about Memphis under Josh, really even in the good years, it was like, what is their thing? If you had to describe Memphis year to year, what is the thing that they consistently do well? Because most great basketball programs, even good basketball programs, there is something that carries over year to year. It could be they really guard you. It could be they really control tempo. It could be North Carolina is an incredible offensive rebounding team basically every season. Most college basketball programs that are consistently successful have something that carries over year to year to year. And with Memphis under Josh, there really wasn't that thing. With Cincinnati under Mick, he has developed that thing. And if Penny is trying to emulate that, perhaps in a different way, but in the same sort of root of, we want to have something that it represents our program. Mm-hmm. Something that...
Tempo or you, something.
Just something that... Every year, when you play Memphis, you know that they're going to be great at this. I do think that that's a great quality to have as a basketball program, and Cincinnati's a really good example of that. All right, John Martin, you tell Cookie I said what's up. You give Sam a kiss right there on her cheek for me.
All right, big dog. Have a good one.
I'll see you, little dog. We'll continue the Grizzlies-Tigers conversation next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it, made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole. I said
Sleepy
I'm lost.
Sleepy Aziz Mattress and Furniture by Michael Zanner. It's not your traditional mattress and furniture store. Their prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores. They don't have sales. They're already killing the competition 52 weeks a year. They don't need sales. Got an A-plus rating. Better Business Bureau. When regions of the commercial appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the Memphis area, four straight years your winner. Sleepy Z. But they don't just sell mattresses, also furniture, living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Anything you need to furnish your home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if you can't, understand there's a 42-inch kiosk there filled with furniture. Browse through it, find what you want, they'll get it for you. And remember, when you check it out, mention you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show, you're going to get an additional 10% off. That's at Sleepy Z's Mattress and Furniture by Michael Zanner. They're located 2790 Kirby Whitten and Bartlett at the corner of Summer Avenue next door to Hollywood Feed. The number 901-692-6200, 901-692-6200. They're on the web, sleepyzzz.com, sleepyzzz.com. It's 451 Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Usually in this segment, whether it's 451 or 442, more like 453. We do four notable stories at 444 where I discuss four previously undiscussed stories. But I told you, on a day like today, it just doesn't seem to make much sense to get away from anything that's not related to the Grizzlies and the trade deadline or the Tigers and the big game inside FedEx Forum that's tipping off a little more than an hour from now against the 25th-ranked Cincinnati Bearcats on the Grizzlies. I just saw this from Sportsline. It is the analytics-driven page connected to CBS Sports. It said that when they ran the simulations for Toronto, including Marc Gasol, but then taking away everything they lost in their attempt to get Marc Gasol, it really didn't change the odds for them of winning the East or the NBA title. Odds of winning the East increased by less than 1%. And odds of winning the NBA title went up just 0.2%. And so that may or may not mean anything. But I do think Toronto was motivated by what Philadelphia did earlier in the week. You know, I think everybody right now knows that there's nothing you can do to get as good as the Warriors. It doesn't matter. You could have done any deal you could do at the trade deadline. And you're still going to be, if you get to the NBA Finals from the Eastern Conference, a significant underdog to the Golden State Warriors, provided that the Golden State Warriors are healthy. Steph's playing, Klay's playing, Draymond's playing, and Kevin Durant's playing, whether he's mad for no reason or happy as can be. But knowing Kevin these past couple of years, probably just be mad for no reason.
Mad, yeah.
Just pissed off. Mm. I never seen a two-time world champion just mad all the time. Can you imagine being a two-time world champion, having $1 billion, just being pissed off all the time?
No, I can't. It's wild.
It is wild. Like the little thing he pulled last night.
Yeah.
Just weird.
It's weird.
Like if you want the attention to just be on basketball, talking down.
Don't trust the media.
Talking down to the media is right. Not the way to make it just about basketball. Right. You're just going to make things more difficult for yourself. Yeah. I don't know why somebody close to Kevin can't help him understand that, because he doesn't understand it on his own. But either way, back to the point. You can add Marc Gasol. You cannot add Marc Gasol. You're going to be a significant underdog to the Golden State Warriors in the finals if you get there. But the goal, I think, for these franchises are try to get there and let's see what's up.
Yeah.
And I do think Philadelphia enhanced its chances, whether the simulations show it or not. And I think the Raptors enhanced their chances, whether the simulations showed it or not. You know, in Toronto, there's no guarantee of what tomorrow will be. So they're pushing all in right now. And I actually like that from a franchise perspective, because so often And this is what they've been doing in years, 4 years, in Boston. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying they've never quite cashed in the way that they theoretically could have, because they were just constantly assembling assets, young players and picks, young players and picks. And I know the plan on some level was to cash in for Anthony Davis, and that might be coming in, you know, this offseason, because, as I'm sure you know, the Pelicans did not move Anthony Davis. So that means Boston is going to have a chance to get him. But constantly talking about tomorrow without ever pushing for today, I don't know is always the smartest thing to do. And so in Toronto, what they basically decided is, we're going for right now. There's no guarantee we're going to have Kawhi going forward. Mark could leave after this season. Mm-hmm. The Raptors could look vastly different this time next year. So let's go for it right now.
Push all in.
Let's push all in. And let's go try to...
Yeah.
Hey, maybe it means we won't be back-to-back champions. Maybe in 4 years, we'll look back and go, eh, we pushed all in, it didn't work out. But let's go for it right now. And I think if you're a Toronto fan, you got to be excited about
that.
You've got an opportunity right now where, you know, you've got former All-Stars, All-NBA guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout your starting lineup.
Yep.
And I don't know that you're on paper better than Philly, better than Milwaukee, but just undeniably right there with them. And the East is going to be, I think, way more interesting, the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
than the West.
Oh,
and,
sure.
and I don't know about the last time we said that. But there's three teams, at least, that are not Golden State's equal. But I think we all knew in recent years, LeBron and a bunch of bums could get to the finals from the East, but they weren't going to beat the Warriors in the finals. Except for the 1 year they did it, of
right,
course.
Right. And it was all him.
And it was all him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it was Kyrie Irving.
The year they won it, it was Kyrie.
Kyrie.
With LeBron. Mm-hmm. But my point is that Toronto is now interesting.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's interesting. Philadelphia's interesting. Mm-hmm. And that makes the Eastern Conference interesting in a way that it otherwise wouldn't have been. Jeff Calkins up next.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com station. Home of the Eric Hasseltine Show. Weekdays 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.